Good morning on yet another rainy Tuesday morning. Welcome to the Tuesday morning show with hosts Phil Huff and Julie Calamine.
Well, good morning, Phil. How have you been?
Wet.
Yes, that's the answer.
Had to dig the umbrella out. We had a few days of a reprieve, sort of, over the weekend. Spotty rain.
On and off, running between the drops. And we both had kind of an interesting Saturday.
Yeah, well, it was a fun Saturday. Idaho Trails Association's sponsored volunteer appreciation and training event. Did you make it in time for the helicopter?
No, I didn't, Phil, and I think you should tell us what happened to Carol Jenkins.
Yeah, the highlight of the day was Two Bear Air coming in and doing a demonstration mock rescue, and one of our Uber volunteers, Carol Jenkins, got hoisted all the way up into the helicopter. It was quite an experience.
She was pretty optimistic about it. She said it was a great time for her. She felt safe, she said.
So speaking of the rain, let's take a look at the weather. And today it simply says 100% rain. It's all in yellow. I think that's the flood watch until 8 p.m. And then tonight it moves to showers, a low of 40 degrees. Tomorrow it's a 50-50 chance of rain showers, a high of 55, tapering off in the evening to about a 20% chance. It continues on through Thursday night with a chance of rain. And then Friday, mostly sunny. So let's hope that 3 days out, we're okay with that sunshine.
Yes. Well, it's a good week for your inside projects. Mine happens to be staining and polying trim. I think I'll get it done.
Well, that's one way to make sure things get done.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about getting things done, sustainability this morning with our guests from the Sandpoint Sustainability Committee. Welcome, David Price-Williams and Emily Cleveland.
Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Phil.
So why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about what sustainability means for you and for the committee?
Well, what sustainability means, it's more than just a word or one action or one type. But sustainability really is about being able to preserve our way of life and preserve the things that are around us for a long time to come, and to be able to continuously do that without intervention from outside sources. So it's a little bit more than just conservation. And so being on the sustainability committee is about being able to help our city, our community, be in a place where we can enjoy our life as it is, but also improve it and be able to enjoy that for a long term without adverse reactions.
But it doesn't mean everybody's off grid and having to be entirely self-sufficient. That's not it, is it?
Oh, no, not at all. One of the great things about sustainability is coming up with new programs and to improve our way of life and for interaction, and then so that it continues without the adverse reactions. And I think that's one of the main aspects. There's a yin and yang to life, and what we want to do is be able to balance those two. And so sustainability is about that with our city of Sandpoint and the community.
So what are the kinds of things that what's the vision or the mission for the committee itself?
Well, the main vision is really to bring people together, to offer up ideas that improve our way of life, help preserve our environment, and improve our environment for a long term.
Mm-hmm. And your focus, obviously, by title is on the city of Sandpoint.
City of Sandpoint is the sponsor of the committee, and that is where our focus is. Of course, City of Sandpoint does affect the surrounding communities of all of Bonner County, and we try to keep that in our focus as well. So we're not just, stop at the city limits, because most of us drive past the city limits almost every day.
So how is it constituted with more than citizens of Sandpoint?
There are some other members that do join in, and so we do have some members that are within the Bonner County community, as well as just the city of Sandpoint, but we try to keep it open to all who are interested in participating.
And it's a young committee, fairly new. When was it created?
We're just over a year old now, so just going at a year, and it's been some growing pains and some learning and some things along the way, but yeah, it's been good for a year, and we're looking to continue it for a long term.
Tell us, how large is the committee? How many members?
I believe that on the committee that we actually have eight certified members are approved, or I forgot the exact word for it. But we do have eight committee members, but we often will have 16 to 20 people in attendance at the meetings.
Okay, and how were they selected? Appointed, or?
They are appointed, but you do have to apply for a committee position, and then you're appointed by the city council.
So the other people attending, are they wannabe committee members or members of the public interested in a particular topic?
Oh, we've had all kinds. We've had people come in and want to be committee members and sit in on the meetings and enjoy and become involved. And then eventually we've had a couple, being that we're new committee, some people find out, hey, this isn't what I was expecting. Let me swap out. And so we've changed some of those committee members. And in fact, Emily has just joined on in what, the last 2 months, Emily?
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
All right, Emily.
Yay.
And you report to the city council then and anyone else or?
Yeah, we're primarily for the counseling the city council. So we often they'll bring up items and say, hey, what do you guys think of this? And how do you think we should deal with this? But more often than that, it's us bringing up ideas, us presenting items to the city council and saying, hey, we as a committee feel that it would be good for the city to go in this direction, then the city council would vote on that. It really comes down to the city council making any type of decisions. We're just advisories.
So I think it'll help people get a better understanding if maybe we deal with a concrete example. Give us an example of something that the committee's taken up and made an advisory suggestion on.
Sure. One of our first successes may have been small, but it was the at the Memorial Field. We wanted we came up with an idea to have a place to refill water bottles so that we could reduce the consumption of styrofoam cups and things of that nature, help sustain our environment. And then along with that, to be more friendly to those who are trying to stay healthy and stay hydrated. So we presented to the city council. City council went forward and said, hey, that's a great idea. Put us in touch with the people who are actually doing the construction on the site, and they were able to put in a water bottle refillable station now in conjunction with the water fountain. So now you can take your water bottle, fill it there, and you don't have to worry about using up cups.
Yeah, and have you ever tried to fill a water bottle from a water fountain? Not easy. That's an improvement, I'd say.
Yeah. Excellent. So what else? What are the kinds of things? That's a really intriguing one.
Oh, well, there's a lot of other items that we bring up. We probably hash out, I don't know, 10 to 15 ideas, just every committee, just really going, hey, what does this look like? What does that look like? And some of them gain traction. Some of them don't. There's been some times that we've had stuff brought before us that we've been like, you know, I don't think that's really the way that we need to go. And sometimes it's better just to say, hey, let's stop that here.
So are typically ideas coming to the committee from outside, or is the committee comprised of people who have some background and experience and bring to bear some expertise?
Oh, well, it goes both ways. We have the people that are part of the committee who bring up ideas. We're constantly asking for input from our friends and neighbors and other citizens. But then we also, our chairman really advocates to have what we might call an experienced person within a type of, with an idea, come in and present to us. You know, everything from a farm bill presenter to a working for the lakes conservation. So we have both sides, experts and from within the community.
Mm-hmm. So are you working in all the general categories of sustainability? We've talked a bit about improved recycling through the use of the water filler at the field. But are you going into areas like air pollution, beyond recycling garbage?
Well, yeah, we have talked a lot about the water. We've talked a lot about the recycling. There's been mention of the air. And along with that, really, we're looking at different ways that we can encourage responsible living. And that's some of the stuff that we look at is encouragement, not necessarily dictating or anything of that nature. Once again, we're only an advisory committee. So we can only present it to the city council and say, you know, this is what we think is a good idea. You are the voted leaders. What would you like to put forward?
Sure. Would you mind sharing a few more ideas that are floating around in this committee?
Well, let's see. We've talked, we're composting, increasing the composting. And that's definitely something that we'd like to look at different avenues. We want to make sure that we're able to do that responsibly, that we're not putting it in an area where we are just have rotting stuff, that we're actually have it where we're collecting the runoff and we're preventing vectors and things of that nature. So how can we responsibly compost? And that goes along with like with the Sandpoint Festival. we've been doing that. Well, we haven't, but the green team has been composting for years, and we'd like to expand upon that, but yet they're coming to a point where they're kind of being limited to what they can take in just due to space restraints. We've talked about the flatware at the elementary schools. One of the great things that we could possibly do is remove the plasticware and bring in back in the good old fashioned silverware and be able to wash that. And what would that entail? Does that, how do we do that responsibly and economically? And we've talked about the possibility of glass recycling. You know, is that something that really helps us, or and what would that look like for the city to take on a project, or who could we partner with?
And there's not currently glass recycling in Sandpoint. Is that the case?
Well, there is. And there's a couple different recyclers in town. We have Cox Recycling, who does has a program that goes around to the different businesses. But they're very, they want to make sure they're being responsible with their glass recycling. And a lot of their glass goes to artists and things of that nature. So you have to clean the labels off. There's some problems with glass recycling. And then Waste Management has their curbside recycling for the residents and for businesses out of the curb. And there is glasses accepted within that. But what we really like to do is to find a more responsible way to be able to get that glass and to possibly use it here, maybe even bring in a company that could use that glass. And so we could localize some of our glass recycling.
So where does the glass go now?
Oh, well, the glass goes to a myriad of different places. Like I said, with Cox Recycling, mm-hmm. one of their big items is that they separate it and sort it, and they sell it back to artists who use it in that mm-hmm. aspect. Hmm.
So if somebody has an idea for the Sustainability Committee, are there regular meetings, or is there a process by which they can bring it forward?
Oh, yeah. The third Thursday of every month at 4 p.m., we mm-hmm. have a meeting at the City Hall. And so all are welcome to join and come in and sit in. And if you haven't, we do have a public comments time so that you can come in and put forth your comments. Say, hey, what do you guys think about this? Or what is it that we can do in this area?
Or
and
they, then
we
can if talk. They know it. One of the committee members, they can just grab Emily by the sleeve and say, hey, Emily, yeah. I got this idea. I got this really good idea.
It's a good way to do it, too.
Yeah. That would be. Yeah. Well, when you were thinking about putting this committee together, were there other models in other cities that you looked toward to help you get started?
Well, they've been working on it for quite a few years. And finally, just getting the time and the group together was one of the things that at first it felt like it would never happen. So I think it was in the process, was actually listed as a committee, but not formed yet for 3 years. When it finally came about that we put it on there, we did one of the first things that we did as a committee was look at some different examples of different sustainable committees. But Sandpoint is a unique city. And so with it being in Bonner County, being a place where it's you can't have a sustainability committee from Seattle work in a place like Bonner County. So along with that, we did learn from others, but I think mm-hmm. that we're kind of making it our own as well.
Excellent. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY FM. This morning, we're talking with two members of the Sandpoint Sustainability Committee, David and Emily. And Emily, let's hear a little bit about your interest in the committee and how you came to join recently.
Sure. So I recently took over for Nancy Dooley at Idaho Conservation League, and she had previously held a position on this committee. And it's I think, an important position for the Community Engagement Associate at Idaho Conservation League, because it's a way that we can really connect our work to the local community. We have a big support network of colleagues that are working across the state, and so it's fun to kind of think about what's going on in Boise and what's going on in Ketchum and how we can find programs that seem like they might be a good fit for this community and kind of borrow some ideas and try things out. And it's fun to work on a committee with a lot of people from the community who have different ideas and different backgrounds, and to just kind of brainstorm about different ways we can be innovative and, you know, try and benefit people's lifestyles at the same time keeping an eye out for you know, what we're leaving behind for future generations. And so it's just a really fun sort of creative time to talk about, you know, possibilities and what we can do.
And are you able to take some of the ideas from the committee and export them out to other places?
So as David mentioned, I recently just joined, and so I've actually been able to only attend one meeting so far. And so it's I'm still in that learning phase, trying to, you know, get an idea about where I can sort of plug the work that the committee is doing into ICL's work and vice versa. But there's some pretty interesting possibilities with the festival at Sandpoint. I think any of those big events that we do, whether it's Lost in the 50s or, you know, the Scenic Half Marathon, any of those things, there's always a lot of use and waste that comes from those events. And so there's always ways that we can improve those systems. And I think that's something that people in the other areas of our state could benefit from too, my colleagues.
David, I know that your title is vice chair, and Emily, I'm not sure if you have a title yet, but do you have specific roles you play in the committee? Serve.
Sustainability is not a play, Julie. Serious business.
It is serious. No, we do have some subcommittees that come around from time to time. Generally, they're temporary, such as an idea will come up and we'll have a couple committee members go and flesh out that idea. And then the next month, they'll report back and say, hey, this is what we found out. This is what we educated ourselves, and we'll now share that education with you, and then we'll decide if we move forward or not.
So Emily brought up a point with her employment at ICL. Are there specific organizations that have seats at the table or that are represented?
It's not by an organization. I think you'll find people that are committed to sustainability. They generally have that flowing throughout their life, and you'll find them throughout, whether they be in recycling roles or whether they be in waste roles, whether conservation roles. And I think what you will find within the committee is that you're going to find the people that are there. It's not just a hobby. It's a way of life for them. And it goes throughout all their lives. And really, that's one of the great things about our members, is that you'll see that sustainability aspect goes throughout their work and their play.
And how large is the committee? How many members are on it?
Like I said, we have eight members.
Eight right now. Is there an upper limit you're targeting as you bring in more people, new people?
Really, we're trying to look for the participation of the community more than necessarily increasing the chair amount, because as you add, there's a lot of legalities that go along with that, and you have to have a certain number of people present in order to carry on a meeting. Yeah. So it's one of those things that if you come, you have to be kind of committed to it.
Yeah, you have to have a quorum to make the committee sustainable.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Emily, I understand your interest comes from your work at Idaho Conservation League and just an overall interest. And David, I don't think we've heard from you how you got interested. What made you interested in this topic?
Oh, well, my good friend Cindy Peer just came to see me one day and said, David, I know after talking to you and meeting you, I know that this is important to you, that you know, your love for Bonner County and how our life is here. Would you be willing to step in and to work with me on this group? And I said, sure, of course. I mean, that's something that growing up as a child, you know, hiking with my father and enjoying the wild side, going hunting and wanting to make sure that these things are there for my kids as well. As well as I've lived extensively in around the world and in different cities in America, from large cities to rural cities. And I've seen some of the bad stuff. And I hope to keep Sandpoint from falling into that trap, as well as, you know, seeing some of those great cities where you go, oh, wow, and able to continue those things here.
Seems to be a theme that threads through many of our morning interviews, Phil. We want to keep Sandpoint beautiful and
clean. Well, and the area
clean.
In general.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah. And so I think we're talking about Sandpoint a lot because it is a city committee, but as you both reflected on earlier, it integrates with other elements of the county. Tell us a little bit more about that and how some of the ideas and stuff you're working on impact areas outside of Sandpoint.
Well, one of the programs or one of the areas that the committee does some work on is working with school staff and liaisons. And so John Hastings works at the high school, and Perky Hagedone works at Northside Elementary, I believe, and both of them are tapped into whether it's the sustainability club at the high school or different programs that are going on in elementary schools. And so they have a whole network in the school system throughout Bonner County, and there's a lot that can be done there, whether it's you know, school gardens or improving school lunches and improving you know, reducing the waste that, that each lunch makes. And so the schools is one way that, that the community.
Sure. And if you do swap out the plasticware for regular flatware, that would probably be school district wide.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually per city, I mean, per school. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we're working on there. You know, and some of the other items that have come up was talking about being sustainable is not necessarily eliminating disposables, but maybe going towards compostable spoons and flatware. And even if that stuff does go into a landfill, it, it would still disintegrate and we wouldn't have it as a problem. So as it, whereas the plasticware, you know, continues to be an issue. And then even with that type of plastic can be hard to recycle. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things are items that we talk about. And it's not just like, hey, let's have flatware. It's like, what are our options? And we flesh out those options. And then those are the, when we feel like we have a good option, that's what we present to whether it be the school or to the city council.
And often those things are pretty complex. You've got to take into account too the cleaning of that. And is that environmentally friendly? And is that sustainable in the long term too with the potential labor involved? So they are complex issues.
Right. They go a long way back from the production of the item to the care and cleaning, as you say. Yeah, right. So they're deeper.
I love the school garden because that's the front end of sustainability.
That's right. You've mentioned work with government, as in schools. We've talked a bit about residential recycling and then also business recycling. You have a few sectors you could be busy in, commercial, residential, governmental. Mm-hmm. Do you categorize it that way or not really?
I wouldn't really think so. You know, that's one of the aspects of being that it's a committee, it's an opportunity that we can flesh out the causes and the effects. And it's one of those things that, sure, we could all say, hey, it's great not to pay taxes, but what would be the results of that be? And it's the same thing with sustainability. Sure, I think it would be awesome if every house had a grass roof, but the leakiness might come into a problem. So looking at the cause and effect is one of those deals that we want to present something where we can, we're maximizing the benefit and the recourse would be minimal. And so that's a lot of things that we have to flesh out.
So are there some educational initiatives or is there outreach you're doing to help just educate individuals about what they can do?
Yeah, there are. We've and we actually have a student representative from the high school come and join us. And there's some different committees within the middle school and the high school that we're trying to mentor along and help bring them up as well. So it becomes an idea of what sustainable life means from a young age and all the way up to being involved in the city and the county committees.
Are you involved in the curriculum of sustainability or not at this point?
Not at this point. That's one of the things that we are residents and we are not the experts. We're just the kind of, we're the people that are going to talk about it and say, hey, what about this? And then we'll bring in that expert. So for us to decide any type of
that'd be a little much, maybe.
Yeah, that might be, as we say, above my pay grade.
Well, it sounds like you've got a couple teachers on the committee. Are there opportunities to expand into a curriculum area or bring more of the work into the schools?
I think the main area that we're going for there is just kind of involvement in club style, not necessarily an education aspect, but really just making it available to, if this is your passion, that we'd love for you to jump up and come on along with us. But that's really where we're looking at, rather than education style, just participation.
Do you see your recommendations to the city council resulting in changes in Sandpoint's either planning or zoning guidelines?
Not yet. We are a young committee, and I don't think there's anything that's really been pressing with the city that they've dropped down to us at this point. But there have been a few small recommendations. But as far as the zoning and planning, we haven't really felt like that was an area that we've been invited to participate in yet.
You're really a new committee, so you're just kind of getting your feet out in the water over there.
Of course.
Yeah, I suspect it'll evolve over time.
Yes.
Right.
Well, we're going to take a short music break here with a song that seems somehow apropos, John Prine and Iris DeMent, Who's Going to Take the Garbage Out? When we come back, we'll talk
to the drive. You miss me yet?
I'm trying.
John Prine and Iris DeMent, who's going to take the garbage out? And that's a good question. Who is going to take the garbage out? How do we make that sustainable?
Phil, who takes out the garbage at your house?
Deb.
Really? I have to say Daniel takes it out at our house. We must be a little on the traditional side.
And she takes the compost out, too.
Good for Deb.
Yeah, we do compost at home. Everything goes in. If you have any questions, you can text me at 208-946-9127. We're back, and we're talking with David and Emily from the Sandpoint Sustainability Committee. If you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY FM. Listener-supported community radio for North Idaho.
And if you aren't nearby and can't get our signal, know that you can always go to krfy.org and live stream us. And additionally, if you only heard part of the program this morning, you can always go to our podcast. I'll have that posted later today.
So welcome back, Emily, David. We were talking about some of the specific projects that the Sustainability Committee gets involved in. Tell us about a couple more. I think people are interested in how they can make a difference.
Well, one of the projects that drew me to the committee was a commercial recycling program. There are obviously opportunities for residents to participate in recycling, but the commercial recycling program in Sandpoint is not quite as fleshed out. So that's a big issue that I'm hoping to get more involved in on this committee.
Right. That was probably one of the number one, I guess you'd say, flashpoints to the committee coming together. And since then, we've developed to the aspect with Cox Recycling coming through and offering a membership rate. And they come through and we'll pick up your cardboard and glass and other items, plastic. Don't think that they have the plastic involved there. And then Waste Management extended their curbside recycling with the carts from the residentials to the business. So that is available to the businesses as well. And of course, there is a cost associated with recycling. So those things are there. So that was really within the first meeting. It was like, bam, some of those products were brought out and fleshed out to the community and they are there. So I think it was one of the success rate, if you're asked what was the first success of the committee meeting, was the first meeting we had. We said, what about this? We contacted, we got the two companies talking. They said, sure, we're doing that. And so those services have been extended to the commercial group. So, but being that it is a cart recycling program doesn't necessarily work for most businesses. So we're continuing to look for new opportunities for them.
I have no idea how much waste is created from the business community versus the residential community. Do you have any idea what percent is what with the two?
That would be hard to classify. I don't really know that there's even any real numbers.
It just seems like there's a lot generated by business, but I have no idea how much.
Yeah. I think it is. I think it's a big chunk. And so it's important to, because businesses are going through not only paper and those sorts of more traditional things, but also things that are trickier to recycle and that maybe there's more value in recycling. So making sure that there's programs for them to use, I think, is a really important part of making sure we've got a sustainable community.
Yeah, we could probably do a whole show on hazardous waste. If Deb's listening, she deals with that. But
Adapt a Highway could play into that show. Yeah. We saw a few things.
Don't suggest people go throwing the garbage out along the highway just because it's adopted, Julie.
Well, you're talking about Adopt a Highway. That's another thing is there's a Ditch Days, which is Cox Recycling, which we didn't realize they did this, but they actually have a Ditch Days where they come out and give community credits to students and other people who just want to get involved. And they have a day where they go through and pick a section of road and they just work to clean that section of the road up and then try to recycle as much as they can, which they have a very high recycling rate of the items that they're able to pull off the roadside.
Yes, we had that option for Adopt Highway this year and it wasn't offered to us last year. So I think everyone's improving in that area.
Good deal.
That's great. Are there other things that the committee can help get the word out on like that?
Oh,
well, are there events coming up?
Yeah. Well, at the Sandpoint Festival, like we said before, the green team works really hard out there. We would love to work towards eventually being a zero waste event. And those are some of the things, some of our opportunities. What was the marathon?
Oh, the Scenic Half Marathon.
Scenic Half Marathon. We'd love to start working with these specialized events and seeing what we could do to bring the aspect that we can reduce our waste. And that's also the other thing is it's not just what do we do with our waste, but as a committee, we've talked about a lot at a long extent of not just how do we get rid of our waste, but how do we reduce the amount of waste that we're generating? Because we are a very wasteful society, and America is the number one producer as far as waste.
That leads me to think about energy. Are you at all involved in energy in your committee meetings?
Well,
I think we've briefly talked about streetlights and and bounced some of those ideas around. But a lot of times we'll come up with an idea and then someone will volunteer to do some background research and sort of present on what they've come up with at the next meeting. So so far, I don't think anything has been established as an action item in terms of energy, but it's definitely something that, you know, it would be interesting to do some more research on.
Yeah, could certainly come up on your committee. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is a good question, how to reduce the garbage in and not just deal with the garbage out. But
well, there's a lot of, this is once again talking about the different ideas of how you do that. If you travel outside of America and you see some of these other countries that reduce the amount of waste, a packaging is a huge amount. If you just go back 200 years and you're like, what is the garbage that we're producing now versus 200 years ago? And packaging is 9 times out of 10 going to be that waste that we're producing. And so reducing that amount of packaging and disposable goods is something that reduces that waste. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things, what can we do as a community to help reduce that?
Reducing packaging and also reusable containers. I know, like filling a growler instead of just buying cans of beer. That's one of my favorite forms of reducing impact on the environment.
I don't mind filling mine at all. I do it more often if I could.
Yeah. Right. And of course, bringing your bags to the farmer's market and the grocery store, those things we have control over. But there are still a lot of things that you can't control. If you order something online, you're going to get the packaging. You can't say, please send it sans packaging.
I think a lot of it is just remembering to change your habits, and it can be hard to remember to bring a reusable bottle or a reusable mug with you everywhere you go, but once you get into that habit, it can be really great. And actually, one of the, I think one of the programs that, correct me if I'm wrong, David, that the committee has created for the festival at Sandpoint is offering reusable water bottles, or working with businesses to make that happen.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So this year we'll have reusable water bottles that will be donated, and hopefully we can get those out to the season pass holders and to the people who will be there quite often so that we're not generating those drinking cups and those disposable items.
So a lot of things we've talked about, there might be a role for volunteers. Is there?
You're willing to volunteer, well, that's one of the things that we are working on is developing these relationships with the Green Team, with Cox Recycling Ditch Days, and some of these other groups. And so if you're wanting to help out and be part of that, just come to one of our meetings, or you can go onto the website, the city's website, and go to the committees and log in there, or you can come to our first Thursday of each month meeting at 4:00. And then we can definitely plug you in with some of those groups, and you can find a place where you fit.
And so people knew those would be at City Hall, the meetings?
Yes, the meetings are at City Hall. They're actually in the council chambers because, believe it or not, we are the largest we have the largest amount of participants of any of the city committees. So just a little
right on. Yeah. Way to go, you guys. So you don't per se need volunteers to help with your committee work, but you would be a great resource for finding a nonprofit that folks could go to. That sounds like a great way to find a volunteer position.
It's also a great place just for a community information exchange. You know, a big part of what we do is trying to get a sense of what the needs are in the community. So when people come and, or, you know, talk to one of the members and have that presence there, it really encourages us to be working on the behalf of those folks and trying to get stuff done. So,
right. If I can add one more thing on getting the community involved, we are publishing just kind of a real brief of what happens at the meetings in the reader. And along in that reader, it also will ask for community involvement questions. So such as this month's community involvement question was, does anyone know of anyone recycling cooking oil for biodiesel? And it's one of those things that if we had that information that we could help support and encourage that, then we think that would be a great idea. And so if anyone knows of that, that would be a way that you could participate in this sustainability committee by just giving us feedback.
Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that you can give feedback at any time is to email us at suscom SUSCOM, Sandpoint, at idaho.gov. And so that'll be in the reader as well. And so if you go through those, you know, those community involvement questions and something comes up and you say, oh, yeah, I know someone who has a, you know, cooking oil recycling program, then you can email us there. And it's a great way to encourage that information exchange.
They can go to SUSCOM, Sandpoint, at idaho.gov, or to the City of Sandpoint website then. Yep. Either one. All right.
Or come to a meeting.
And this will be an ongoing series in the reader then.
Yes, it will. So that would be published, I believe, the week after our meeting each month.
Excellent. And so the monthly meetings go year-round. You don't go dark in the summer. Some organizations don't want to meet in the summer because they want to encourage people to go outside.
We've only had one meeting that did not commence, and that was we gathered for the meeting, but we just didn't have a quorum that day, and participation was quite low. It just happened to be the third Thursday of December, and that was right before Christmas. And so that was the only meeting that we've skipped. So other than that, no, we go through the summer, we go through the winter. And in fact, you know, the winters can get a little bit boring, so come hang out with us.
That's right. And your next meeting is when?
It's this Thursday.
This Thursday at 4 p.m.?
At 4 p.m.
At City Hall.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
All right. Well, Phil will have to try to make it.
So if someone can't make the meeting, but they have a really killer idea, now who should they pass it on to?
Well, as we said, you can email us, contact us on the City Sandpoint website, and then you can just click on the committees and select our committee and send us info that way. If you know someone participating in the committee. But my favorite is if you can't do something yourself, get a friend to do it for you. So send a friend down to the committee meeting and we'll talk to them.
Now that's sustainable. I like that. Yeah.
Good idea. That's a great idea. Well, David and Emily, it's been a great interview. I've enjoyed talking with you both and learning more about the Sustainability Committee here in Sandpoint.
Any last minute thoughts before we wrap up?
No, thanks for having us on this morning.
Julie, it was a pleasure to be with you. And Phil, thank you for having us.
If you ever have something you want to talk about, promote, a new idea that you want to spread out to the community, let us know. We can bring you back on the morning show. Often we do a short segment at the beginning or end, and we'd love to help promote those ideas.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for coming on. We're going to take a short music break. Nothing But Flowers by the Talking Heads. Now, wouldn't that be sustainable? Nothing But Flowers.
The bees would like it, that's for sure.
So would the birds.
Yes, that's true.
If it stopped raining.
Yes. Well, what a great interview we just had. So many ideas about sustainability.
And if you have more thoughts on the topic, go to the meeting Thursday, 4 p.m., City Hall, and talk sustainability with the Sustainability Committee.
That's right. Bring your ideas.
For now, we're back to the morning show. We're going to talk a little bit about upcoming morning shows. Tomorrow, Wednesday, May 17th, join hosts Susie Perez and Chris Bessler. They will review the May 16th Lake Pondere School District trustee elections. That's today. The vote is today, is it not?
Yes, it is.
So if you haven't voted yet, get out and vote for the school district trustees, also the library trustees, and the hospital board.
That's correct. And the polling hours are 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And if you don't know where to vote, you can just go to Sandpoint Online. I did that this morning.
Or the Bonner County Elections page.
Yes.
They have a second interview tomorrow morning. Susie and Chris, after talking about the elections, are going to be talking with the organizers of the upcoming Schaefer 150 Grand Fondo bike ride, Alina Westfall and Dr. Joy Jansen. So that's tomorrow morning. There's going to be a lot on the show tomorrow morning. Thursday, tune in to KRFY at 8 a.m. for the morning show with Jack Peterson and Jim Healy. Their guests will be Jennifer McDonald from 101 Women.
101 Women.
I don't think it's an instruction manual, Women 101. I think it's a philanthropic organization, 101 Women.
Very good. Well, that should be interesting.
Not Women 101, 101 Women.
So it's not a women's studies class or anything like that.
No.
And then next week, we've got what will be a great interview with Phil and me, and that's going to be the Friends of Scotchman Peak, and we'll be talking with Britta Meyerly and Mary Franzel. And Mary is once again, the ambassador of the GOAT program, and that's an interesting job. I think everyone will like to hear about her many, many tales.
We all like to talk about goats, but we have a special Friday morning show. Julie, I'm surprised you forgot about it. You're hosting it. This isn't news to you, is it?
No, but you're going to have to describe it if it's written up there.
Susie Perez, and I believe, Julie, you're coming in as a co-host, will have guest Gabriel Dubendorfer from the Citizen Climate Lobby. They'll be talking about an upcoming event, Stabilize the Climate and Boost the Economy. The event will take place Saturday, May 20th But the show will take place Friday at 8 a.m.
Yes, goes well with our sustainability topic this morning.
So let's talk a little bit about, this is a big weekend coming up, Lost in the 50s.
Yes, it is. In fact, there's a lot going on over the weekend, and there's some things happening before that. Phil, you just touched on the elections. We've probably covered that, which would mean everyone get out and vote. Please get out and vote for that if you care. Beyond that, today on the 16th, we also have Sisterhood of Shred that's celebrating National Bike Week with the Pondere Peddlers Bike Club at Sisterhood of Shred. It's a documentary about women who jump their bikes and push their limits. That starts at 7 p.m. It's at the Panada. For more info or for tickets, you can go to PonderePeddlers.org or call 208-597-2072. On the 17th, there's going to be, well, a number of things, but one is the Panhandle Forest Collaborative meeting. That's at Jalapenos. For more information on that, it's a collaborative meeting, and it's happening from noon until 3:30. And for more information on that, you can call 208-448-0210. There is also on the 17th, that will be tomorrow, the Chafe 150 Fondo fundraiser party. Idaho Poor Authority is hosting that, and that's, again, Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. All are welcome to come enjoy a craft beer, get to know the riders, and enjoy the appetizers, live music, and raffle prizes. So hope that you'll make it to that.
What an easy way to support our organizations, going to a fundraiser, drinking beer for the cause.
It is an easy way. I find it's very easy. Phil, what's happening with the station regarding...
Well, coming up in June, and we've got a lot of stuff this weekend to go over, but we want to make sure that we don't forget to mention our annual on-air membership drive, which will be live this year for 2 days, June 9th and 10th. It's open to the public. Come on down to the studio and join us. I think I've got a slot on that Friday, and Julie, I'm sure you're on the air a few times.
One time I'm on the air.
All right. But you can come down and join us at the studio, talk with some of the station volunteers. We can probably even announce your name on the air. If you're a member, we'll just hug you, I think, as Jim said the other morning. And if you're not a member yet, well, we'll make you a member so we can hug you.
That's right. We'll just hug the stuffing out of you. Come on in.
But we have gift drawings throughout the drive, live broadcasting fun, live local musicians, on-air interviews with lots of different community interests. It should be a great event.
I think so. There's a lot more going on this week, so I'm just going to continue on.
Tell us about some of the Lost in the 50s stuff.
I knew you were waiting to hear about that. So on the 18th, we've got Rock and Roll Heaven. That's at Bonner County Fairgrounds, and that's the 12th annual Rock and Roll Heaven. This popular show sells out almost every year. It's the performing event for the 32nd annual Lost in the 50s celebration. This year's performers are Ryan Pelton as Elvis, Stingray Anthony as Richie Valens, and Lance Lipinski as Jerry Lee Lewis. So you 50s fans, you're not going to want to miss this. Plus, a young, new, crazy, talented band called The Lovers will be rocking the house over the top. So anyway, that's going to be a good night. And for those of you who enjoy the Lost in the 50s, you should plan on attending that. You can call 208-263-9321 or visit the 50s website or their Facebook page. Beyond that, on the same evening, we have a tap takeover, kick off the Lost in the 50s weekend. That's at the 219. That's for adults, of course, and the party begins at 7 p.m. It's free unless you want to buy a beer, of course. Beyond that, we've got so many,
well,
so many.
You can just walk down through the city streets and look at all the cars.
Cars.
Hopefully we have some decent weather this weekend.
The parade is which night? I better just see what night it is. It's coming up. It must be.
It's usually Friday night.
Friday. It is Friday night. So that's not quite yet. But on the 19th and 20th, you will also have the opportunity to watch classic car movies. That's also at the Panada. If you're not outside, you can be inside. Movies at 3:30 and again at 1:30. Well, 3:30 on May 19th and 1:30 on May 20th. And again, you can go to panada.org to check those out if you'd like to see them.
Yeah, this weekend also means it's the end of the online auction, the Viggo Mortensen Art Auction, a benefit for 88.5 FM and the University of Idaho Cyclocross Course. The items are on display at Syringa Cyclery. The online auction started May 6th, continues through May 21st. That's this weekend.
That's right.
And you can go to biddingforgood.com/KRFY and keep bidding.
That's right. And there's lots of interesting items you can bid on. It's not only the original photo prints by Vigo. There's other material that you can bid for. So if you have a moment, take a look at the website. And remember, things heat up at the very end, so you might want to get in there the last day and grab something.
Bid now, but come back on the 21st if you really want something. You'll have to bid again, probably.
That's correct. Well, it's back to Lost in the 50s events, Phil. It goes on and on. On the 19th, there's the show and dance. That's the dance featuring the queen of the girls groups, Shirley Alston Reeves. She's the original lead singer of the Shirelles, along with her girls, who are going to make you love them till tomorrow, and then some. They will be paired with the voices of Tommy Mara and the Cress, so you will be really going back into the days of the doo-wop and dreaminess. Once again, tickets, well, doors open at 6:30, show starts at 7:30, and for tickets, you would call 208-263-9321. And there's the second week of the farmer's market on the 20th.
But before we go on, are you getting your poodle skirt out this weekend? And
Phil, have I mentioned that I was born in 1964? And so yeah. I've sort of missed that whole era. Yeah. How about you,
well,
Deb?
You don't have to have been born in the 50s to appreciate the 50s.
Can I bring my poodle? Not that I have one.
Yeah, you could.
That would work okay. The 20th is a big day this weekend, and we've got the car show that's downtown. The streets will be bursting with hot rods and classics, and that's starting at 9:30 a.m., and it runs until 3:45 p.m. It encompasses Cedar, Main, 2nd, and 3rd, so it's going to be all over downtown, Phil. Are you bringing anything?
I'm away this weekend.
Oh, often, missing it.
Yeah, the weekend before Memorial Day, I usually go out of town for a conservation event.
Okay, so you won't be watching. Yeah. I'm going to be there because I will be broadcasting a bit. If you're not doing the Lost in the 50s, though, you may be interested in some of the other items I'm about to talk about on the 20th. There's the Sand Creek Cleanup. That's an annual cleanup. No better time to spruce up our local waterways as we move into the best months on Lake Pendere. So you would be welcome to join the Lake Pendere Waterkeepers for cleanup from 10 a.m. till noon. In fact, you could get that done and then still make it to the Lost in the 50s.
There's plenty of time to have it all.
That would be a good day. For more information about that, you can call 208-597-7188. But that would be a great event for those who like to help out and clean up town. On the 20th, if you're the type who likes to get away from town when it's busy, you could run out to Libby, and the event there will be Libby Dam Birds of Prey. It's at the Libby Dam in Libby, Montana. And new this year, visitors will hear the story of Beauty, the bald eagle, nursed back to health and fitted with a prosthetic.
Well, lots going on, and we hope you've enjoyed this morning's show. We certainly did. And if you missed any or all of it, if you're just tuning in now and you missed the interview, you can listen to the podcast later on at KRFY.org. We'll be back next Tuesday with another morning show for you. For now, we're going to go out with a little Michael Martin Murphy.
Sounds good. And for those of you who